T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesdays, and it's Wednesdays with the Wojinator. What's up, Woj?
I'm sorry. Happy 5-0 de Mayo. Woo!
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. How are you going to celebrate?
I'll probably stay at home and watch the Tigers. Oh, that doesn't sound very fun. Well, no. Do you want me to say something so controversial it may knock you guys off the air by FCC regulations, or do you want me not to?
No, I do want you to. In fact, it's funny because you mentioned two of the four things that I want to ask you about, Cinco de Mayo and the Tigers, so go ahead.
Yeah, right, I know. Yeah, sure. Hi to everybody. Happy 5-0 de Mayo, and here is my really hot take. I think one of the most overrated foodstuffs in the country is the humble taco.
What?
Overrated. Okay.
Please explain.
I will explain before I get beat up. It's not the foods in it. It's not the beef. It's not the shredded cheese. And it's the vessel that transports it to your mouth. Now, I know you get soft tacos, and I love burritos, and I love Mexican food. But you take one bite out of a traditional taco, and it crumbles in your hand, and then you just scoop it into your mouth like you're a scavenger of some sort. Sorry. That's my take.
How do you eat your taco that it instantly crumbles?
Because
like, how big a bite are you taking?
The hard shell ones.
No, I know that, but like, where was the last, when was the last time you had a taco? And because I eat tacos quite often, and I don't have the issue of the hard taco completely crumbling in my paws.
Well, I've been known to go to Taco Bell.
You need to up your game.
No, I need to go to Mexican Town and get a wet burrito today or at some point. I like it wet, the burrito,
okay.
For sure.
You like your taco wet. Okay, I get that. I think we can all agree. We can all agree with that. All right, well, let me ask you.
He is the Sperminator.
Yes, he is the Sperminator.
Oh, God.
I divulged earlier in the broadcast, Woj, that while waiting in line for 20 minutes at a Chick-fil-A, I killed some time by calling NHL radio on Sirius Radio as Max from Michigan, and thus I am a loser. What's the biggest loser thing that you've done, and as you know me for a long time, I've done?
Well, that's a double loser thing, by the way, Stoney, not to be mean.
Okay.
Waiting 20 minutes for any food, fast food, and calling NHL Sirius Radio. You mean a loser thing I've done in, like, the sports realm?
Whatever. It doesn't have to be. This is not just a sports station.
I got it. Getting COVID. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's pretty high up there, though, to be honest. I mean, I can't think of something. Sony, it's so unfair. You have a treasure trove of loser anecdotes, and I don't know. I don't think I have anything. I haven't eaten popcorn out of somebody else's container after a hockey game. I haven't done any of that. Let me get back to you.
If she's listening, the angel of the big house, you can tweet some anything Wojo has done as a that would be
loserish,
loser-esque, so to speak. All right, well, Joe, speaking of losers, the great segue, the Tigers lose again 11-7. And I just want to throw some numbers at you that, you know, particularly, well, last night, 2-3-4, Candy and as you call them, Cabby and Scopey were 0-13. Miggy, 0-5, two strikeouts, two double plays. He's in an 0-23 slump. He's batting 105. We know how long 105 lasts in this town. Anyway, he's 6-57. Is it sad? Is this what we're going to – I mean, obviously, look, baseball, you know, we find its level. But it's just – it's really painful to watch right now.
Well, the most painful thing to watch – obviously, you can just say the offense. Well, of course. I mean, all the strikeouts, of course. But the Miggy thing is very painful. And they actually were hanging in there, and he comes up with the bases loaded and strikes out. And I mean, he has this confused look on his face now, which I guess anybody going through a slump does. I mean, I really wonder. I mean, Miggy is such a proud, confident, athlete. I really wonder if and when doubt seeps into his mind that he's going to be able to make it to A, the milestones, B, another year or two if he can. And, I mean, at this stage, it's – but he's gone through this before, not this bad, but it's painful to watch Miggy and painful to watch anybody, any batter with a 1-2 count on him for the Tigers waiting for that next pitch that he will swing at low and away.
Well, the comforting thing is down at High A West Michigan, where they had their first game of the year, they played just like the Tigers. Torkelson 0-3, three strikeouts, and the team struck out 16 times.
You know, it's a talent deficit. Not, well, obviously, it's just huge for Tork. But,
right.
It's but on the Major League roster, it's a talent deficit.
Yes.
But don't we feel like, and I don't know organizationally what the Tigers' structure is from the minor leagues up. Don't we feel like they've never, as an organization, had a good hitting approach?
True. Like, yes, yeah. You're right. And I don't know if we start with, you know, Avila gets all the heat, as he should, and if he loses his job, which would be very understandable, no problem with it. I would advocate it, actually. But there are people below him who need to be accountable, too. It's under his watch, but the David Chad and Littlefield and these guys, they've been around for a while. We've seen nothing.
But beyond that, the on-field instruction, I mean, we've heard of years, the Minnesota Twins way and the Tampa Bay Rays way. And they've always struck out. And here's another thing. When a hitter leaves the Tigers, he seems to flourish. You look like Nick Castellanos and James McCann and even like Jose Iglesias went elsewhere and really picked up hitting-wise. J.D. Martinez, though, he was good here, too.
Right.
I don't know. That just struck me the other day that I feel like we've been watching this for more than 2 or 3 years.
So my question then is, in getting back to Miggy, who's, you know, hitting in that three spot, we already covered the fact that he got up with bases loaded last night and could have helped the team quite a bit. When does it become actionable, or when would you expect A.J. Hinch to move him in the lineup or Al Avila to demand that they move him in the lineup?
Boy, that is the great question, the tough question, and probably the unanswerable question. I do like the word actionable, though. I really do enjoy that word. But it can't be forever. And I know Miggy would view it, you know, being moved out, just like he viewed being not playing first base all the time. But you're right. At some point, his feelings or whatever aren't going to matter because what's working now isn't working. I would think, I mean, I think he's going to go down in the order, I would think, in a week or so. Not too far down, but down a bit.
But who's done enough to move up in the order? No one.
That's exactly the point. And with the minor league system finally starting up, maybe Hinch and Avila can hold some of these hitters accountable. I don't know exactly what their contracts are, but bring young guys up if anybody shows anything in the minor leagues, because there's no accountability at all, because there's nobody to switch them out with,
yeah,
right?
Mazzara and Nunez hit home runs. Yes, so did Kristen Stewart. You want to see him again? I don't know. All right, the Lions draft. I think everybody agrees. You can't grade anything we don't know for a few years, but everybody seems to like the identity that's being formed and like the ideas, at least. Even if it's too early to tell on the players, except for Sewell.
Right, right. The main thing, and this is damning them with faint praise, because I really do like what the Brad Holmes has done and stuff, but the main point is, near as I can tell, they didn't really screw anything up, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything dumb, and by dumb I mean, ooh, we're really smart and we're going to do this. That's a start for sure. Now, regimes have come in here before and said, we're building up the trenches. We're going to maul some people. I believe that was Bob Quinn's tact early on. So
and Millen. I mean, Backus and Raiola were his first two picks, and Sean Rogers,
so
too.
It's not as simple as the strategy and the plan. It's picking the right players. And I feel like I like the type of player they got, the high-ceiling guys, the motivated guys. I like that philosophy as much as building up the trenches, and I love that they didn't, you know, go for a shiny piece at number 7. My only, not red flag, but the downside to it, I kind of wish they traded down at some point and gotten maybe a few more picks. But you know what? It was sort of a weak draft this year with not as many players available, so save the picks for next year. So I really, all said, don't have any major complaints at all.
So they didn't save all the picks for next year. Actually, they used one of their picks for next year to get Derek Barnes out of Purdue. That one, when it happened, I was a little surprised to see him obviously picking back-to-back. But then when you get a chance to watch the film, I can understand it. I can understand that he, you know, likely will start this year because there's very little competition. What were your thoughts on spending a fourth round next year for a fourth round this year?
Well, I didn't mind that because they absolutely targeted somebody. And you're right, I did just say saving picks for next year. But that's just one. And I do love that. I mean, they didn't have to, but they kind of had to come out of the draft with a linebacker and or a receiver. And they got them both. I like the USC receiver. When they show highlights of that guy, St. Brown,
mm-hmm.
half of his highlights are him downfield blocking, just mauling people and shoving him into the sidelines, which I like a lot. Physical receiver. We assume he can catch the ball as well. I guess the only reason I'll give them a pass on trading up and giving away a pick next year is, Late in a draft, you should be going for, although fourth round's not that late, you should be going at least for some element of a need when you have, mm-hmm. you know, so few linebackers and so few receivers.
All right, final thing, big question on your margaritas, salt or no salt?
Okay, what I'm going to say next is equally controversial as to what I said earlier. This does not reflect the sentiments of the Stoney and Jansen and Heather Sparks show. I hate margaritas.
I'm not huge on them either, but if I have to do them, I'm doing them with salt.
Hate. No, you don't put salt on them.
Thank you.
Who wants a salty drink?
I agree.
Bloody Marys.
Tequila makes me gag. Okay, anything else? You want any other declarations from me?
Make your own type of margarita, a ginarita. Instead of tequila, use gin.
I mean, if you put gin or vodka in, I could deal with it, but
it changes it completely.
Jansen, why is that good? Like your lips touch the salt and then you wash it down?
You say that again? You wash it down?
Yeah, you wash it down.
John's anti-salt.
I'm a no-salt guy. I like my margaritas, but I'm a no-salt guy. And Stoney, obviously,
I'm salty.
Yes, he is salty.
Yeah,
he loves the salt, but I'm a no-salt on my margaritas guy. But I do like hard tacos.
Good.
So
all right, yeah. Stoney's a salty one. I should have suspected
as
much.
Yes,
right.
You should have. Mm-hmm. All right, Woj, thank you very much. Right. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you and yours.
Thank you. Congratulations on the news about sizes of noses, Stoney. Good job.
Thank you very much. Exactly.
I heard that earlier. Mm-hmm. All right. Happy 5 minutes.
All right. He is Wojo Wednesdays with Wojo. And, of course, every night with Jeffrey Rieger beginning at 6 o'clock before exciting Tiger Baseball. 97.1 The Ticket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.